You have power. The power to save lives. The power to defeat illnesses. The power to use games for good. You can be a hero for local sick and injured kids through Extra Life, a 24-hour gaming marathon that supports a local Children's Miracle Network hospital in your community. Join 50,000 gamers from all across the world as we battle the enemy, illnesses, and injuries facing local kids.
Play games! Heal kids!
Find out more at extra-life.org.
Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what did you think of Idle Hands?
The fact that... I laughed as much as I did. Says a lot. It's better than it should have been.
I'll agree with that. So, so for those of you joining for the first time, welcome. For those of you joining for the 60th time or whatever time we are on these, welcome.
Hi.
I don't keep track of the numbers. So you want me to watch what? You want me to watch what? This is the podcast that Justin and I just watch movies. All kinds of movies. Old movies.
All kinds.
New movies. Tall movies. Short movies. Foreign movies. Domestic movies. Even movies
with chicken pox. One of us had to say it. We're showing our age, by the way.
Oh, aren't we just... Well, considering that this came out when probably you and I were juniors or seniors in high school.
When did it come out? 99. I was a senior.
So.
Good times.
Good times. So, this is Idle Hands, 1999 American teen comedy horror film. Starring Devon Sawa, who... You and I know this person as the live-action Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yep. He was in the movie for all of 2 minutes.
Yep. One dance with Christina Ricci.
Lucky bastard.
Yeah, I was a little bit envious. Seth Green, or the voice of Chris Griffin.
Yep.
Eldon Henson, Foggy Nelson himself, in the new Daredevil show. And Jessica Alba, of course.
And a surprise 2-minute cameo by Fred Willard.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. The film is a play on Idle Hands or the Devil's Playthings. And so we get into the movie. And it opens with that wonderful, we're going to trick you into thinking it's actually a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of vignette where... You know, mom and dad or husband and wife are getting into bed and, you know, they're just kind of talking to them. And then they look up and there's the message on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm under the bed. Or, you know. And so they, husband goes to check it out. There's a noise. He doesn't come back. The wife gets up. She hears noises. She runs. She tries to call and gets pulled, dragged under the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's blood and everything. Cut to a week later? Maybe?
No, the next morning.
I was going to say, it's unclear how long it's been, but it's the sense that he hasn't seen his parents in a while.
True. True.
And so Anton wakes up and he's getting ready to smoke some pot and he's out. So he goes to his friend Peanub.
Yep.
Penub. Which hurts me every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. Goes to his friend Penub's house to get some weed, where Penub says, I don't have any either. And Penub, and the other
I like to think that the P is silent like pterodactyl, so it's just nub.
Except it's not, because they always say Pinub.
I know, but in my mind, I autocorrect it to just nub.
Yeah. Well, Pinub and Mick basically tell Anton, hey, instead of smoking up and doing nothing, all three of them are stoners. Mm-hmm. In that wonderful 90s sense of the word.
Yeah.
And the two of them that are kind of staring off into space are the ones telling this third guy, dude, you really got to get your stuff together. I mean, this is real John Belushi telling Carrie Fisher to ease off on the cocaine vibes.
Yeah.
You know, and we've said this before, if John Belushi is telling you to take a break.
Take a break.
Take a break. Anyway. So Anton goes out. He tries, but he's awkward and it doesn't go well. Goes home. Goes to make himself a sandwich, and the knife that he's using, which is the wrong knife, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting real Thanksgiving trailer vibes on this, because it's just irritating when people use kitchen things wrong. He's using a chef's knife, but it's covered in blood. He doesn't notice it as he's making his peanut butter sandwich, and it hurts. Like, a lot of things about this scene hurt.
Yeah.
Never mind the wrong knife. But then they go for that little bit of gross out there where the bloody mm-hmm. condiment,
mm-hmm.
and he takes the bite, and it's like, come on, look at what you're eating.
Yeah.
Give it the respect to look it in its face.
That's why they make open face sandwiches, so you can look at it.
Come on, man. Notices the knife he's using is covered in blood. Notices that he's just eaten a bit of sandwich that has blood in it. Spits it out. Thank you. Notices the cat is playing with something. Goes over. Sees it's an eyeball. Runs toward the door in panic. Knocks over a couple of Halloween decorations, which just happened to be stuffed with his parents.
Yep.
Because it's funny. Mick and Peanut show up. Anton shows him the bodies, and they kind of figure out that Anton has to be the killer.
There's some evidence. There's
the evidence.
Yeah, there's a piece of his shirt that's been torn off.
Mm-hmm. So, Mick tries to call 911, but Anton shows up and says, I'm not the killer, as he murders Mick with a glass bottle in his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to leave that one alone. Anton then says to Peanut, it's like, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it. But his hand is possessed, and his hand pulls him along through the house, chasing Peanut into the basement. And he tries to stop his hand, but his hand overpowers him.
Yep.
And we're getting real Evil Dead 2 vibes now.
Uh-huh.
And decapitates Peanut. All right. Anton's hand throws the cat out the window. When he goes to look for him, the hand pulls him onto Molly's porch, rings her doorbell. There's a real weird kind of scene there. Anyway, Anton buries his parents, buries his friends, but the friends come back as zombies. Don't know why. Never explained.
They saw the light and heard all the singing. They're like, nah, that's not my kind of vibe.
Yeah. And so, this is about the time also we find out that there is a hunter of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie LeCure is hunting the spirit responsible for these killings. Apparently this is happening all across the country. And she has this amazing scene where she marks down on the map all of the different places. And it all makes the big pentagram.
Yep.
Because it's that kind of movie. Meanwhile, Anton cuts his hand off with a cleaver.
Again, very Evil Dead.
Very Evil Dead. And then they use the iron in order to
cauterize
the stump. And they put the hand in the microwave and turn it on. There is a very funny spoof of this movie that they did on Robot Chicken.
Yes.
Called Idle Nuts.
Yes.
And this scene in particular makes me laugh every time. Because for the hand thing, it's just, it's in there and they burn it and it, you know.
Yeah.
But the nuts are still attached to the guy when he microwaves them. And so he turns it on and just like, ding. Beep, 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 beep. Makes me laugh. So, the girlfriend, the would-be girlfriend, has convinced Anton that they're going to go to the Halloween dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is still dressed in his blood-spattered, you know, dirty, you know, and now with a stump to go to this thing where Offspring is playing.
Yes, because, you know, high schools in the 90s could afford Offspring.
Well, 1999 was a weird time.
Yes, it was.
Anton tries to warn everyone, but he's ignored right up until the hand scalps, you know.
The lead singer.
Yeah. Dexter Holland.
Yep.
Man, that's a callback. I haven't thought about the Offspring since the Americana album came out. It's very easy to get in the weeds in this movie.
Occasionally. Occasionally, the Weird Al parody, Pretty Fly for a Rabbi, will come on my playlist. And then I just kind of harken back, oh, yeah. And then I move on.
Yep. Yep. I'm good with that. All right. So, the band's lead singer gets scalped. The dance gets into a great big old thing. A couple more people die. Anton gets into a fight with a hand while it's inside a puppet. Escapes to the auto shop, where it's a 90s teen movie. Things are not terribly PC right here.
No.
Get into a fight. Mick finds a mechanic's bong, and he and P-Nub smoke up for strength. Bear in mind that at this point, P-Nub's head has been removed from his body and affixed back with a barbecue fork,
mm-hmm,
and duct tape.
Yes.
Anton then blows some smoke into the hand, which is inside the hand puppet, to get it stoned so that it will fall, so that they can stop the car from crushing the would-be girlfriend, just in time for the hand to try to attack again and the evil hunter to come through, throw a ritual knife at the hand, which then makes it just go poof.
Yeah. Very anticlimactically, which they reference.
Yeah. Turns out there was actually a climactic scene there that was going to involve, like, the school's pool,
yeah,
and the gate to hell and everything, but it just didn't fit.
Yeah.
And then in the process, you know, then the movie ends. Anton's in a full body cast because he gets crushed by the car on the way down. And he gave up heaven to stay with Molly, the would-be girlfriend. Mick and P-Dub now get to be his guardian angels. And when he's left in the room, he looks up and sees the same message that opened the movie, "I'm under your bed," written on the ceiling, to where he screams as Mick and P-Nub walk down the hall with their angel wings and everything going, man, he kind of screams like a little girl.
Should you tell him we wrote it?
Nah. Credits. So, I want to be the first to say, this is not a good movie. Yo, it... As stupid as I just made it sound, the movie is dumber than that. The fact that it is entertaining is a testament to the energy it brings to this stupid stoner comedy of the late 90s.
Yeah.
And it has that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Across the board. Seth Green especially.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely.
He is bringing just absolutely everything into this that you're going to see kind of matured out in Robot Chicken,
yes,
later. You know, he's just very into this role. And quite honestly, Eldon Henson kind of nails it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he actually had just come from Mighty Ducks.
Oh yeah,
because he was Fulton Reed. He was the tough guy with the big slap shot.
Yeah.
You know, and so they are bringing all of this energy and comedy. Devon Sawa's doing fine. Jessica Alba's doing fine. But those two, you're watching the movie for Mick and P-Nub. Because those two are the ones that are really carrying a lot of the comedy on their shoulders. Devin's doing okay with that, but he's also supposed to be the one, because he's in the midst of it, that is taking it the most serious and being the most traumatized by it.
Yeah.
Whereas Jessica Alba is completely clueless until literally the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, character-wise, it's fine. Plot-wise, it's dumb. It's such a beautiful testament to 1999, though, that I woke up in the middle of the night worried that I was going to miss a test in Ms. Gable's math class. It's like, oh crap, I forgot to study.
Oh wait, I'm in my 40s.
It's that strong. The 90s is that strong with this one.
It is. It really is.
So talk to me about, you're watching it, it opens up and it's that super serious opening.
I admit it did kind of throw me there for a minute. I'm like, I thought this was supposed to be a comedy. Okay, there's Fred Willard. Okay, what's going on? And then I see what we're doing here. Yeah. So I agree with you in that Mick and P-Nub are the ones to watch in this movie, but Devon Sawa's physicality when he's fighting his own hand while it's still attached to his body, really good.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
While
he's not the most comedic person in the movie, his physicality in that scene in the house alone where he's trying to both kill and not kill his friends before he cuts the hand off is amazing.
Mm.
And it's just stupid little things as the movie goes on, and how there's a scene where he's getting ready to consummate the relationship with Jessica Alba, and the hand is trying to attack her, and he ties it to the bed. So...
oh, kinky. Yeah. It's safer.
And the scene with the hand puppet made me guffaw. Because I'm like, I know what movie I'm watching at this point. It's that kind of thing. And then suddenly, hand puppet. I'm just like, oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
That was brilliant, in my opinion.
It's because it knows so well what it is and what it is trying to accomplish, it succeeds where if any of those pieces were lacking, even a tiny bit, I would never have recommended it. The movie would fail completely without the physicality, without the speed of the humor, you know, especially out of Seth Green and Henson there. Without those pieces, without the over-the-top, I want to say like the set pieces, you know, in the auto shop, you know. Oh my God, this is so terrifying. It's like, it's a car lift.
Yeah.
That's going to crush her on the ceiling. Car lifts are not known for being fast.
No.
And so just watching the thing go, and it's like, it's like the scene in Austin Powers when he's going to run over the guy with the steamroller.
Yes.
It's like, it's so far. Deadpool in the Zamboni.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to get you. There's no stakes.
No.
To it. You know exactly how it's going to go.
It's almost like a 66 Batman feel cranked up for the 90s.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I could absolutely see a duly deputized, you know, Batman, you know, running around in Gotham in broad daylight in this world.
Yes.
Very much so.
So the hand in yeah. this was played by the same actor who played Thing in the Addams Family movies.
Well, it had to be.
It had to be. I mean that's just...
Who else is going to be able to do that?
That's all this guy has done, I think. No, I'm serious. I looked up his IMDb page because I'm... Oh, okay. What else is the hand done? Oh, it's Thing. And he was Thing and three other things and a hand and something else. Oh, okay.
Now that's funny.
Yeah.
makes me think we need a spinoff of Evil Dead 2 now where we can hire this guy.
It's just the hand.
You're good, Ash. And I'm evil, Ash. Oh, also good stuff.
Evil Dead 2, Return of the Hand. Tagline, giddy giddy.
I don't have anything else to say about it. I mean, it's... This is a thing I could just say happily, just go see it. It's silly, it's stupid, it's 90s, and it's worth the hour and a half that it lasts. You know?
If you grew up in the 90s, watch it. Just go ahead and see it. If you're past the 90s, see it with friends, just so you can all kind of make fun of it, you know?
Yeah.
But still,
and
see it.
And you will.
Yeah, and you absolutely will. But still, see it.
And if you're, you know, beyond that, yeah, just skip it. There's nothing for you here.
No.
The guy who is now, you know, a main, you know, got a recurring role in Chucky is not the same guy that was in this. This is the guy from SLC Punk. And Casper.
Yeah.
And Little Giants.
Yeah.
And Wild America.
I don't know that one.
Oh. A good, one of those good adventure comedy, American adventure comedy kind of family things. He played, you know what Wild America was, right?
No.
Mutual of Omaha's
Wild
Kingdom.
Oh, okay, yes.
So Wild America is kind of based on the same thing, Marty Stauffer.
Okay.
You know, so this is a fictionalized story of Marty Stauffer's childhood.
Gotcha.
And so it's, I'm not going to say it's well worth it, but it's probably, you know, it's 1997, Justin, worth it.
No, well, I sometimes go visit him, so, you know. Oh.
So, all right. In that case, it's a see it from us.
Yeah.
And it's your turn.
I think I got something.
All right.
Hello, meet Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.